Okay, we're up to Perek Yud Aleph. We're up to Pasuk. We're up to Pasuk Gimel. Perek Yud Aleph. Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Gimel. Imimolu he'avim geshem al ha'aretz. I'm sorry. No. Pasuk Hey. Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Hey. Kasher incha yodea ma derech ha'ruach. Just like a person does not know the path of the ruach, the wind. Meteorologists, they still, ad hayom hazeh, with all of the technology, they still cannot predict the winter. Nothing has changed. That's what it says here in the Pasuk Koheles, the Farish of Pasuk. They will never know, they will never be able to predict the weather. Ka'asher ein chayodeh ma'aderech haluach, ka'atzomim. Ka'atzomim is a very hard word to translate. In the Mitzudosin it says, inyan skira usisima, something that is hidden. Comes from the word oitzem enav, to close your eyes, to shut your eyes. Oitzem enav mira'os bara, to close your eyes, not to see evil. So here also means ka'atzamim, means something that is concealed. Biveten hamaleya, in the womb, in the belly of a woman who is pregnant. 9 months pregnant. The time of Chazal, see, this has changed. They cannot tell if it's a zohar or an akeva. Two examples here in the pasuk: to predict weather, and nothing has changed, and to predict if the woman is going to give birth to a boy or a girl. Maybe what it means is kat salim bebetan hamle, means to predict if, at the time of conception. Can you decide in which? Can you predict at the time of conception if it will be a boy or a girl? This. Okay, so there is such a thing. I'll put halacha mazriya tchila. Who's mazriya tchila? That's a good point. But like, even today they've always been talking about this technology. Let's say for in vitro fertilization. If you can decide in advance you want a boy or a girl.
You're only allowed to have one child. They want people want
in China.
So they would wash the sperm. And
so they can do it. It works.
They did that.
It does work.
They have
the technology that they can
it was going to be
a boy. They can do it. Okay. Okay, that's interesting. So therefore, yeah, it's interesting that today this thing then totally has changed. You can actually predict in all states of the pregnancy if it'll be a boy or a girl. Okay, whatever it is. Likewise, lo seda asamase lo kima shaya sesakol. A lot of these things. No, proof is both. Mitzvah proof is to have two children, a zohar and an akeva. Zohar and akeva. So you think hashkaf? So halachically, other issues. And going. That's a whole interesting discussion. You go to a clinic. Are you allowed to decide boy or girl? So technically, the answer is a lot of these things. The answer is yes. Technically, there is no prohibition. Hashkafically, is there you want to leave it to Hashem, you want to do it on your own? I don't know. So that's probably different opinions on that matter. I don't know. But here it says, so too, just like a person cannot, at least we're talking about there, according to the rules of nature. According to the rules of nature, it is impossible for a person to predict which direction the wind will blow. It is impossible to predict what is inside the belly of the gender of a woman. Likewise, kocha lo seda esamase lakim asher yasakol, a person cannot know what is going to be. A person cannot predict the future. Okay, there's a very long Rashi here. And there's a very big question as far as the gears is concerned, so we're going to go slow. Let's first see over here what it says in Pasuk Hei in the Mitzudos David, ka she'incha yodea kamo, just like she'incha yodea be'ez derech haruch mahalech, a person does not know the direction of the wind. Im ki sishma koiloi. Even if you hear the sound, the person can hear the sound of the wind, the howling, you cannot predict the future. You cannot predict the future in which direction the wind will blow, even though you hear the wind is blowing. Chmo, similarly, another example. Havlad, haniskor, bebeten hamileya, a fetus that is concealed in the womb of a woman who is pregnant. She'incha yodea, you have no way of knowing imhu zochor o nikeva. Okay, there's no way al pi derech hateva, just by looking or by listening. There's no way you can tell if it's a boy or a girl. im ki sire blita sabet, and even though you see the woman's belly is bloated, I guess that's the similarity to the beginning of the pasuk, is you hear the wind blowing. I guess that's what it means in the beginning of the pasuk. If you hear the wind blowing, maybe that doesn't mean the future. I'm assuming what it means is, if you hear the wind blowing, there's no way just by listening to the sound of the howling wind to determine in which direction it's blowing. You have to throw up something into the sky, some grass into the sky, and then you can see which way the wind blows. But just by listening to the sound, it's insufficient. Just by looking at a woman, you have no way of knowing if it's Zohar Nekeva. If you do a test, there may even be some tests that were done in Tam Chazal. There was a tradition in Parashat Shemos where Paro told the Mialdois that there's a simon to determine if the woman is going to give birth to a boy or a girl. A boy is in the mother's womb in one direction, and a girl in the mother's womb is in a different direction. So seemingly, if that's really true, this doesn't apply. Obviously, this doesn't apply b'zman hazet. They say nishtan hateva. There's no such thing in our day and age. Boys and girls in the fetus in the mother's womb are exactly in the same position. There's no difference. But it appears from Chazal that in ancient times there was a difference in the position, how the boy and the girl were positioned in the womb. So I guess you would be able to make a determination. A determination by a feeling. If a doctor were to feel the belly of a woman, and if it's really true that the boy and the girl are positioned differently, maybe you can make the determination. But all it means here to the koich of ri'iyah, just by looking at a woman who is pregnant, there's no way to determine if the boy is a girl, a boy, if the baby is a boy or a girl. So here the pasuk is giving us, according to the Mitzvah, those two different examples. The koich of shmia and the koyach of re'iyah. Ein edoyme shmia l're'iyah. You can't compare shmia. Now that, on a simple level, that means picture is worth a thousand words. But that's not only what it means. It means there are two different leaks. There are two different worlds. There are milus in shmia that you will never find in the koyach of re'iyah. Shmia is something which is near. Shmia represents the concept of comprehension, to fully understand what is occurring. Re'iyah has milus, you can see something at a very great distance, but more often than not, re'iyah does not mean you understand. It just means you see something. What the message is not understood. Shmia represents the concept of understanding. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So in Chazal, they talk about these two different concepts. There's something called shmia, there's something called re'iyah. Einoy doime shmia l'ri'iyah. We simply translate this to mean that a picture is worth a thousand words. Ri'iyah is in a class by itself, head and shoulders above the koyach of shmia. But that's not necessarily what Chazal had in mind. They are me'ayin panim l'Torah. They are in a different category, two different categories. The Matan Torah, the Chol Ha'am, Royim es ha'koyles. The two were intertwined, the two koyaches of shmia l'ri'iyah. That was a moment when the both of them were synthesized, they were merged together. But here it's interesting that according to the parish of the Mitzvah, the pasuk is giving us two examples. The way he explains the pasuk is that the wind is howling. I'm sitting at home and I hear last night there was very strong winds. You hear it howling outside. Do you know just from the koich of shmia in which direction the wind is blowing? Absolutely not. You have to do a scientific experiment. Throw something into the wind and see where it goes. By looking at a woman who is pregnant, can you determine the gender, male or female? Absolutely not. You have to do a scientific experiment to determine what the gender is. So we have the koich of shmia and the koich of re'iyah are incomplete in this world. Likewise, just like each one of these two things is incomplete, re'iyah is misleading. You see things, you don't know necessarily what it really means. You hear things, you don't necessarily know the depth of what something means. So too, there is no way for a human being to comprehend the Ma'aseh Elokim. Just like these two koyachos of shmiya, so let's go further. In Mesudos, in Zochon Nekevu, Imki Sribilis Abeten, Kocha likewise, Lo Seida Es Maasei Elokim Ashayas Es Akol. So I think it's a very Es Akol, next words of the Mesudos, Ratzolayma, Shum Dovar Mimase Hashem Lo Seida. You'll never know the full depth, comprehension of Hashem's actions. Umusav Lomal Loimar, Ein Lucho Lahamtin Al Haruach, Velifchoid Min HaGeshamim. You don't have to wait It's going back to the previous pasuk. Shomer ruach lo yizra, v'roye ve'avim lo yiktzar. And the previous pasuk it said not to be a procrastinator, to delay. A person should not wait for the wind. If you're going to wait for the wind, you'll never plant. If you're going to wait for the clouds, you're never going to harvest. Don't wait, because you don't know what's going to be. Maybe the wind will never come, maybe the wind will come, maybe the wind that you thought is not good is going to be to your benefit, and vice versa. So, Ein l'cho l'hamtin ala ruach, v'livchoy min ha'gshom, do not be afraid of the rain, do not worry about the wind. Ki lo yisucha l'das ma'yi, you do not know what's going to be. So if you do not procrastinate, and just jump in to the matzah.
Afraid, there's always be something to be afraid of.
You'll never accomplish anything.
Shoot it to mashma. You have a baby because you don't know if it's going to be a boy or a girl. So when you know if it's a girl, then you decide to have a kid.
Okay, circular logic. All right, whatever it is. Okay. Okay. Bottom line over here is, I just want to try to bring out something a little deeper in this mitzudos. He's telling us there's a koyach of shmiya and a koyach of ri'iya. Hashem created these two koyachos. Each koyach in and of itself is incomplete. You can hear something, but you really don't necessarily know what it really means. You can see something, you don't necessarily know what it means. This is part of Hashem's Bria. There's incompleteness in both of these. The only time in the history of the world where both of where there was completion in Shmi and Re'iya is at Matan Torah. The Koyach of Torah is V'chol Ha'am Royim Es HaKoyles. And just like these two things are part of our life, Re'iya Shmiya, and they are incomplete, that is a moshul for us to continuously remember that everything that happens in this world that relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no way for us to understand. A human being is given the koyach of shmiya, he's given the koyach of ri'ya, he lives with these two koyachos every single moment of his life, and he's aware that these koyachos are misleading, they are incomplete, and you don't really know. You know, and if this is so with regard to yourself, your senses, the most important different sensors in the human being, al achas kama v'kama, a person should not be arrogant to think that he understands Hashem's hanhaga. Certainly when events happen in this world, just stand down, stand back, and mekavlid be'emuna pshuta, it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu's world. When it comes to Torah, Torah ready something which you have been given the koyach to fully comprehend according to your koyachos with the cholo'om, royim es ha'kolos, when you connect yourself to the koyach of Torah. Okay, now we begin Rashi. Rashi is a very marich, and then after Rashi says something, there's a hagah that tells us that the Rashi, there's a mistake in the gears, and you have to reverse everything that it says in Rashi in the other way around. Kasher, pasukein Rashi, kasher incha yodea, katsamim bebeten hamalaya, just like a person does not know. He's skipping the part of the ruach. He's just going to the second part of the person. Does not know what is concealed inside the womb of a woman who's pregnant. The vodim haniskarim v'haneetzamim, things that are closed up and are concealed. The beten in a womb, shehi meleya, the belly of a woman that is fully pregnant or partially pregnant. The afal pi shebeletes lechutz, even though her belly is bloated. And it's noticeable, it doesn't matter, kasha in chayodeh harez, period. Now, then he goes on to say, Rashi, what is this unusual expression? Kasher ein chayodeh. And then we give two examples. Are we trying to compare the first item to the second item, or are we trying to compare the second item to the first item? What is the proper approach, the proper emphasis on the pasuk? So first he says as follows. Kasher in chayodeh, this expression, hareze nikra misuras. The pasuk has to be read in reverse. What do we mean? Misoifoy le a misuras nidrash, it is interpreted misoifoy liroishai. What do we mean? Kashein chayodea derech haruach, when the pasuk begins by telling us about the derech, the path of the wind, kolaymar, don't take that literally. What it means to say is yidia shtei elu shavois, lo zu giluya l'cha, v'lo zu giluya l'cha. You have to look forward in the pasuk. There are two different examples to be cited, and both of them are concealed. Pa'amim ata sovor lahakir ba'avim sheyavay haruach. Sometimes you are under the impression that you know in which direction the clouds are coming. Ve'ena ba'kan ki oyver v'holech lo el eretz acheres. It goes in a different direction. Meteorologist. V'hare loshon ze kimo kigan Hashem ki eretz Mitzrayim, referring to Sodom. Sodom, it says the two things about Sodom. Sodom was kigan Hashem, and it was also ki eretz Mitzrayim. Kishivcha kivir, the pasuk in Yeshayah, that just like a shivcha, so is the kivir. They both do the same averos. Just like the shivcha is shakua in Znus, so to her gevir, to her mistress, also is involved in Znus. The buyer and the seller are in the same position. I'm not sure what that refers to over there. Upam shumashve muktam l'mu'uchor. So sometimes when you have these expressions in Tanakh, the order is not precise.
Sometimes you're equating the first one to the second one.
And sometimes the second to the first one. And sometimes they're exactly the equal. We're equating it both ways. We could equate the first to the second. In other words, the ikur is the second. And sometimes we equate the ikur is the first, and we're comparing the second to the first. So what are we trying to do over here? Afkan, lomade, we're giving you instructions to learn. Again, we have to remember what he's going to say now is one approach, because the Haggah is going to reverse everything that we say, and when we reverse it, then the pasuk takes on an entirely different meaning. But here, at least, the gears that we have in front of us is Afkan Lomed Yidias Haruach Miyidias Sabeten. The Ikor, the foundation of this pasuk is the Atzomim Beveten Hamaleya. A woman who is pregnant, a man gives a look at her, there is absolutely no way to know if she's carrying within her a zohar or a keva just by looking at her. But when you look at the wind, now see, Rashi is not the same as the Mitzudas. Mitzudas said about the wind, when we're discussing the wind, he said this: the observation a person makes about the wind only involves the koyach of shenia. You're indoors, and you hear outside the wind is howling. Through the koyach of shenia, there's no way to make a determination if it's going east, west, north, south. That's not what Rashi learns. Rashi learns you're outdoors, and you not only hear the wind, you see things, or you see clouds in the sky, you see clouds in motion in the sky based upon the wind patterns. So you would likely make an assessment that if the clouds are traveling eastward, so give it another 5 hours, and in 5 hours they'll reach this destination and there will be rain. What the meteorologists do every single day, they tell you which...
Not accurate because it says here.
Exactly, we mentioned this. But what he's saying, this is something which a person can fool himself into believing that he can make a prediction. He can't predict its path. But with regard to determining if a woman is carrying a male or a female, just by observation, that is absolutely impossible. So we're going to learn, so he's telling you, so too, you should know even things that you think you can predict based upon your experience in life, you should know you're wrong. It's just like the things that you would admit, you acknowledge you cannot predict. That's how Rashi in the first shot is learning. There are two parts of this pasuk. There is katsan, bevet, and hamaleya. That's the second part of the pasuk. And the first part of the pasuk is the path of the clouds. Which of these two things is less predictable? The atzamim bebeten hamaleya. That is less predictable. What is more predictable? The path of the clouds. The pasuk is telling you, you should know that the things that you think you can predict, you're wrong. Just like you acknowledge you cannot predict the bebeten hamaleya, you cannot predict the path of the clouds. And what's the ultimate lesson? And therefore, the thing that every single person fools himself into thinking that he can certainly predict, the weather, they always tell you 90%, 80%, 70%, that you acknowledge. But what's going to be with my parnasa? What's going to be with my children, my grandchildren? What's going to be with my success in life? In the way that for sure I know what's going to be. I know I'm going to do this. I'm going to retire. I'm going to have a good parnosa. I'm going to my children are going to get married. My grandchildren get married. And this is going to happen. That's going to happen. Your path in life, a person fools himself in thinking you know what's going to happen in the future. Everything is going to work out just the way you want. When you're 23 years old, you're going to get married, and you're going to have the number of children. You're going to predict you're going to have this child and that child. You're going to plan out, you're going to plot out all the parts of your life perfectly on paper, and everything is going to work out perfectly. Not like the weather, which is only 70%, 60%, 100%. So the Pasuk over here says, I got news to tell you. Let's start, let's ground ourselves. We'll ground ourselves with looking at a woman who's pregnant. Can you make the determination if she's pregnant or not? If she's carrying a male or a female?
No.
Absolutely not. So let's go in small steps. Now, let's talk about the weather. Can you predict the weather? Well, you think you can. I'm telling you, predicting the weather is just like predicting if a woman is carrying a male or a female. Now that we've already reached that madrigal,
a woman's attitude changed this from second.
And now we go to the next step. Is what's going to happen in this world? When will Mashiach come? What's going to happen with your life? The Derech Hashem, which the person is foolish to think that you can predict what Hashem is going to do in this world. Yitzchok Avin, who am I going to give the brachas to? To Esav. What's the Shaila? Esav is my man. He's the person. Ki be Yitzchok Yikarei L'chazora. Yitzchok, be Yitzchok V'loi Kol Yitzchok. It's going to be Esav. That's what he thought. Everything he thought, this is the plan. Guess what? Hashem has different plans. So it's a gradual. It's a Rav Dessler is very into these type of ideas. If you want to understand something, you have to go in steps. I think one of the classic examples that Rav Dessler gives in describing what does it mean li'olam vo'ed lenetzach nitzachim. I don't remember the details, but he describes this very, very slow detail of a bird traveling hundreds if not thousands of miles to bring one little particle of sand. And he drops off, he carries a particle of sand from one end of the world, he travels to the other end of the world, and he drops the particle of sand. It takes him to accomplish this mission, I guess the bird has to stop every so often, it takes him a year. And then he has to go back and get another particle of sand. And the goal is to build an island. Right? Battery Park. Isn't Battery Park built on
a landfill,
right? So they dumped earth from the World Trade Center. Isn't that where it came from? So that was done with machines and technology. Can you imagine we'll have one bird do the entire, it will build Battery Park for us. And they'll build it with one piece of sand at a time, but he's not going to go take sand from ground zero. He's going to take sand from California. Okay, so we'll take a particle of sand from California, have to fly 3,000 miles across the whole United States to New York, and drop off that particle of sand and go back and get another particle of sand. Obviously, if they go travel across the whole United States, it'll take takes the bird a couple of weeks. I don't know exactly. Has to stop, has to rest. So the law. And so you have to, so Rav Dessler, he writes something like this, you have to picture in your mind the bird doing this. And then after he finally builds it up, you dwell upon this, realize that this is only equivalent to 1 second of what it means, li'olam vo'ed, u'lenetzach nitzachim. In other words, to appreciate what it means, infinity, or forever, Gesundheit, you have to take a moment and break it down into its smallest part and appreciate the depth of how long that moment is. And then the shock is to go the next step. And then the shock is to go another step. Okay, there's a scientific method to this. But according to Rashi, this is really what's going on over here. We have three different parts of the pasuk. We have the given, the basics, what you agree to. Now, let me give you an example of something which is a little bit more vague. What's a little bit more vague, and the person can mislead himself to believe that he can predict? The weather. I'm going to show you the weather. It's just like the Bet and Hamaleya. Now that we've established that there are things which you think are predictable are not predictable. Now we can go to the next step. The thing that every human being really fools himself into believing is predictable, and that is the Derech Hashem. And that's the most arrogant thing, because of course we have no way to believe the Derech Hashem. So let's research the Rashi. So Afkan, Lomed Yediyas HaRuach Miyediyas HaBeten Kiloimar. This means to say, don't go and try to predict the path of the clouds and assume that the clouds will arrive at that this destination, at this location in a given period of time, because the clouds are unpredictable, just like it's unpredictable to determine what's inside the belly of a woman. Period. Now comes along a Haggah, and he says, the idea is correct, but it's just the opposite. The starting point is the wind. Everyone knows you can't predict. You can't predict the weather. But is a woman carrying a zohar in a keva? Oh, so you know, maybe you can make what she looks like. Is it high? Is it low? Does she have a certain glow? A lot of techniques.
The thing is, it doesn't change. A woman, whether it's a boy or a girl, once it is, and it's not going to change. The wind
can go one
swirling around, and in the middle, it just.
Oh, so that's maybe a svara to say that, right. Just like you cannot. Let's see what it says. Haggah. Inyan zehu misuros b'divrei Rashi. What Rashi said is correct. The concept is correct. And one of the two here is the ikar, and one is the tofel. One is the melamed, and one is the lamed. One is the teacher, and one is the student. But the girsa that we've just read is the girsa that we've read in Rashi. There's a corruption. It's a mistake. It's just the other way around. Misuros b'divrei Rashi umuchupach utzrichem lahagia. Like the precise books, the Oz Yuvan Shaper, the Kachi Hanuscha Amitas. This is who put this Haggah? I have no idea.
Yeah, it's correct.
Okay, I go to Nuscha. I don't have here.
This is a Chacham and
Dutch. Okay. Even though it extends outside, you do not know the derech haruach.
A woman's belly, she gets bigger, but you still don't know what's going on inside. If it's a boy or a girl, she gets as she gets more pregnant, she's got a bigger belly.
Yeah.
But he's saying it's the opposite. In other words, the wind should have come first, second, because you don't know even that. Since you know you don't even know. In other words, you can't possibly know the wind. Even with a woman that's totally secluded inside, I mean, you can't see. You have no idea what's
going on. Al achas kavakama.
Even that. So
right, that's how we lived until now.
So you think you might know the wind, but that's how little you know about the wind. The same way you'll never know about if a woman has a boy or a girl inside. You're not going to know.
Right, that's how we said originally. That's what we said originally. But I thought what he says in the Haggah, we'll see that one more time. He reads it again, Rashi.
So
you don't know what it's going to be. You don't know what's going on inside. If it's a boy or a girl,
she
gets more pregnant. So you think you might know the wind. But that's how little you know about the wind. The same way you'll never know about it. If a woman has a boy or a girl inside. Even though the day comes when she's pletus b'chutz, ein cho yodea ma bebitna, kach eino yodea derech haruach kolaymar.
There's a simple difference here.
Yeah.
Rashi's shita is, he's using the word, afkan lomar, yedias haruach, yedias habeteh. But according to the Shnissi Chacham, no, everyone knows, but he just wants to emphasize, just like you don't know about the beteh, we also don't know about the ruach, but according to Rashi, we would think we don't know,
right.
But we have to learn that from the beta, and that no, we don't know.
So yeah, what's the difference in the different girsa? Afkan lomed yediyas haruach. The original version was lomed yediyas haruach mi yediyas habeten. Kloimar, ein cholish.
I think the only difference is it's not a kal vachomer.
Right.
The Rashi said it originally was, oh, we have this, certainly that.
It's just a mistake.
Just about the same.
Right.
Then the equal. They're equal. Yeah. They're equal. But one.
Like you don't know this, you don't know that.
Not a color, right.
It's not because, you know, I'm making color. Oh,
It's not because one is more.
This one you think you would know, but you don't really know. You're fooling yourself into thinking you could predict. You know, you see the wind. You know the wind predominantly goes west. I mean, goes from west to east. That's the way the world goes, spins. So the wind goes that way. But things change any minute.
You give 10 minutes for a weather report.
Whatever.
Okay, let's see. Okay,
did you just learn that?
Okay, I'm not. Okay, so he's saying. Wait, according to the first interpretation, the verse. I'm not really clear. The first. Let's just read back to the first beginning of the prayer. Upon shul mashve muchal muktam afkan lomed yidias haruach yidias habeten. It's to lomed. Okay, you have to learn one from the other. Kiloimar ein lchalishmar esaruach ein lchalishmar esaruach liras bavim. You have to learn it. According to the second interpretation, he's saying there's no lamed. He takes out the word lamed and he's just saying it's equal. The avi shepaletis lechutz incho yodeh ma'beten kach einu yodeh. I'm not really sure. Okay, I'm not, it sounds to me too very similar in both. They're very similar. Okay, I thought he was switching it. I glanced at him very quickly. I thought he was switching the order, but he's not. Obviously, he's just saying that both. Okay, they're both very similar. Okay, both of these ideas are the same, but they basically agree with the principle that the Beten HaMaleah is more of a given to a human being that you do not know. The second step is the Ruach. That is something which he said can change any moment, and therefore it's telling you that it's the same. You really cannot predict, and now the pasuk concludes. But first, we have to go through Fimo Rashi's katsamim. He translates word something that's concealed. He has a French word, kinui oitzem enough, to close your eyes, and then he follows through aflo seda. So here is the biggest chiddush: af gizeroisav shalamokem leinyan aniois viashiois, with regard to poverty and wealth, kach. They are concealed from you, the person. And therefore, what is the message? What is the bottom line? Since you really do not know what is going to happen, a person should always give tzedakah, because he may one day be on the receiving end. As we mentioned, this theme goes back to the beginning of the parak. He said this idea over and over. So, the person should not withhold from doing kindness, because whenever you do kindness, you're really helping yourself. Shema, because the person should not say to himself, I'm not going to give tzedakah, because I'm going to give tzedakah, I'm going to be depleted from my resources, I'm not going to be poor. I'm not going to learn Torah, because I learn Torah, they have to take out time from my business, and I'll become poor. Or a person should not say, I'm not going to get married and have children, because how in the world am I going to support the children? It's the rich lahitzi alim, and spend money. A person should never say these things are foolish, because a person really does not know what's going to be. You do not know how things will play out, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately controls the world, and when the day is over, you have to come on to emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Take birth control people that think they have a large family, get a hat to.
Well, that's an old rush. You hear.
He's not hinting, he's saying it.
Not hinting, I mean it's alluding, yeah.
A person should. It's birth control. He's saying that people should not take birth control. That's all he's saying.
They're going to have a large family.
How are they going to support a large family?
Emotionally, then they get a hat. The woman comes and says, I can't stand it. I'm going to go with my das. You can get a hat to her.
Okay.
She's gonna have a nervous breakdown. Okay.
I remember there was a story. See, this story today. There was a story today where a woman comes over to a very famous rabbi, and she says in public, "Can you imagine this? Such a story." She says to the rabbi, "Rabbi, this is your baby." So the rabbi, what are you accusing me of? What are you accusing me of? Ish. And she said this in front of a whole tzibah. Rabbi, this is your baby. You see, this baby is... No, she came with a baby carriage, and it was a baby. And she said to the tzibah, to the shul, Rabbi, this is your baby. And everyone was looking. Ooh, it's a true story. Whew. What's going on over here? She says, Rabbi, don't you remember 2 years ago you gave a drasha and you said that Klal Yisrael, we need people. We need Shomrei Torah Mitzvos. People should have more children. People should not withhold. So she said, you know, I wasn't planning on having this child. I already have, Baruch Hashem, I have already 2 children. Enough! But when I heard your drush, I was inspired. You have to do more, something more for Klal Yisrael. You have to invest in Klal Yisrael. And you inspired me to have another child. So it's your baby. Okay, so it's a nice little story. I know of another funny story where I actually know the people involved. And the person, he already had a baby every single year. I think he was already up to seven children. And basically, he said, a very good friend, and he knew that his wife, and he knew that he can't manage this fellow. This fellow's a little bit spaced out. And he managed his care to some degree, his health. This is a very complicated story. So basically, he took him to a big poisek to tell the poisek, made an appointment, and the poisek was going to tell them they should take birth control. They already have 7 children. It's time already to relax because things were getting out of control, financially and emotionally. So he made an appointment with a major league paisek, and he had the couple come to the paisek, and the paisek was prepped. He knew the whole story, and the paisek started talking very delicately about this issue. So the wife says to the paisek, says, "I don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to have as many children as Hashem gives me." And everyone thought the problem was the husband. It was the wife that was insisting. Okay, we're going off the topic. Let's go. So this is the Perush of Rashi. Let's now go to the Targum. The Targum. Yeah.
He was going to say Shem.
Okay.
But he doesn't know how to tell the weather. He doesn't know how to.
Okay, let's go to the. Let's see the Targum. The Targum here on this pasuk says pasuk hey, kasha incha yedei ma derech haruach. Pasuk hey, Targum says heichma, just like deleisoch yoda ichdein yehalech ruach nishmosa. Ooh, new pshat. We're not discussing the wind that howls in the wild out in the street as it goes north. The ruach here refers to the neshama. A person has no clue on how the neshama enters into the fetus in the mother's womb. The chayei beguf in the body of ulema shalila. The sharei b'ma'aya di'imei ma'abra. All those words mean the neshama that lives in the baby of the placenta that is resting in the womb of a pregnant woman. No human being can comprehend how the neshama, the force of life, enters into the fetus. A fetus, Chazal say, when it's 40 days old, the neshama already enters into that collection of blood and whatever is inside. How did a living creature, a living life force, arrive in that neshama? No human being has any understanding of this mystery in creation. The heichma, and just like the law sinda, so too you have no way of knowing will it be a male or a female until the time that it is born. Okay, that's a little bit interesting because today we can make that determination very easily. And even the time of Chazal at Smash, where they had some techniques, they can also make that determination. Hachdein, similarly, you do not know how Hashem runs his world. So it has nothing here to do with, according to the Targum, no, at least it makes a lot of sense, the connection between the two. According to Rashi and the Mitzvah, this is a very great struggle. What are we dealing over here with the wind blowing, directing clouds in a certain direction? What does that have to do with the second part of the pasuk of the Beten Hamaleya? But according to the Targum, it's obvious. We're dealing here with, just like you have no idea of what happens at the time of conception, when a neshama enters into the womb of a woman through the zivug of ish v'isha, and furthermore, even 9 months later, you're still clueless. You don't even know the obvious. You don't even know if the fetus inside, al pi derech hateva, is a zachar or a nekeva. So human beings are so ignorant. You're ignorant about yourself. You're ignorant about your children. You don't even know how you have children. Yeah. You think You think you're going to know what you're going to tell Hashem what to do in this world? You're going to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to call the shots and give Hashem instructions on how to run the world? Foolish! You don't even know your own children how they came into this world. So Alachas Kankam. That is the interpretation of the Targum. Okay, so that's. Let's go now to the next pasuk. Pasuk Vav. Baboiker zira es zarecho vilo erv al tanach yodecha. In the morning you shall seed your seeds, you shall plant. Yeah. In the evening, al tanach yedecha, do not rest your hands. Ki incha yodea, a person does not know eze yichshor. You do not know what will succeed, which will be kosher. Hazeh oizeh, v'im shneim ke'echot tovim, maybe both together will be a benefit, each one will support the other. Now what does that mean? There are many interpretations of this pasuk, but let's first do the mitzudos, pasuk vav, baboker in the morning, lekach, baboker zirastech. What is the message? He right away jumps into the message. Plant. The gamba erev in the evening, al tanach yedech, yadcha min hazri, in the evening also do not withhold from planting. Rotzaloyma, b'chol eis tizras sodcha, v'loitamtin al haruach. According to the mitzvah, this pasuk vav is going back to pasuk dalet. Shemeruach lo yizra. So too, plant in the morning, plant in the evening. Early crop and a late crop. You do not know which crop will succeed. The early crop or the late crop. Maybe you'll get lucky. Each one will be equally of benefit. Now notice the Mitzvah says it's not that each one's going to feed off the other. It's not that it's a partnership. If we'll see soon in a few moments the Midrashim, it means having children. A person should have children when he's young, and should have children when he is old. So then you would say that when the pasuk concludes, it's a good partnership. The children that he had when they're young will support the children that he had when he's old. Or the children he had when he's old will support the children he had when they're young. It'll be a very good partnership. They'll be in business. Each one will provide the raw materials, the other one will do the marketing, and one will do the technical part of the business. So according to the Midrashic interpretations, when it says Shnei Kechotev, it means they will work well together. But according to the simple interpretation of the Mitzudos that we are discussing, actually planting, there's no such thing as the early crop is going to be a benefit to the later crop, and the later crop is going to be a benefit to the early crop. And therefore the Mitzudos says they'll be equal. They'll both be of equal benefit, the early crop and the late crop, if you are lucky. Rashi, plus six.
So now we know that as couples get older and older, the chance of having a child that has a major problem increases.
Correct.
So why is the Torah telling us this?
Maybe Nishtana Hateva, maybe this was not true in earlier times. Maybe today in our generation, Shtana Ateva, we're weaker. Maybe in ancient times people were healthier, it was not the same danger. I don't know what the statistics are. What are the statistics of what? Go back even 500 years. They had to have keep records of birth defects. So who says Erev means 60 years old? Tending to have a child, going to a facility, have different stories of women having children when they're 65 years old. There was a story recently.
They marry when they're
16 years old.
16 years old.
So Erev means when you're 35 years old.
Right.
Or you're 25 years old. That's already the Erev. And that's already certainly not necessarily a problem. Okay, so Enechanami. It's all relative. Enechanami. Okay, but let's see if you're Rashi. Rashi Pasig Vav. Rashi immediately jumps into the drush. Mitzudos so far told us we're dealing with planting. He says to study Torah. Baboiker im lamata Torah b'yaldusha lamei Torah b'ziknuscha. Learn Torah when you get old. Im hayu lucha tam. What? Come to Kailo.
You go to
Kailo. You go to Kailo. When you were young, don't retire from teaching. Have talmidim when you are old. Okay, before we go further, you know, they used to say, someone used to tell me, what is the difference? In Eretz Yisrael, this is a problem. And not Hashem to say something bad, but there are certain different segments in Klal Yisrael that have a different approach to life. And someone once made the observation that in America, the minhag is to play when you're young and to learn when you're old. A lot of the big Talmidei Chachamim today in America, A lot of Talmid Chacham, when they were young, they were no big students. They were not Talmid Chacham, they were troublemakers, they ran around. After they got married, when they were 25 years old, they settled down, they sat down and they learned, and they became big Talmid Chacham, they became big Askan, big leaders in Klal Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, the Derech was years ago that they would work them very hard when they were young. When they were 5 years old, they already knew Tanakh, and they were 10 years old, they knew Shas, and by the time they were 20 years old, they knew Kol HaTorah Kula. But there was a very big problem of burnout. And when they were young, they would learn when they were young, but they would play when they got old. This is the expression. In America, you play when you're young, and you learn when you get old. In Eretz Yisrael, you learn when you're young, and you play when you get old.
Because they play when they're old?
What?
Why could they play
it means that they're not. You see, this burnout. There's burnout. There is burnout. They're just not. They don't have that interest. That interest. They're not spending their time Isaac and Torah. So that's a very big problem. There's a very big balance because sometimes in Achnam you get this burnout. If you work too hard in the early years, if you apply yourself too much, there can be burnout. There can have very very severe repercussions later in life. And the Pasuk of Yirmiyahu says you got to plan. To learn when you're young, plan that when you get old also you should learn, you should not hold back from learning.
It says that in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz, it says in First Perek in Kedushin,
yeah,
that do two different types of people, in other words, two different
should you get married first,
get married, sit and learn, and then get married, or
we'll get married halon v'haluhu,
right,
halon v'haluhu, and machlekes rishonim and Rashi Tais, what is the halon v'haluhu, depends on different halakha.
Eretz Yisrael is Rabbi Fuller Shalom, best handball player there. He won tournaments all over. I used to see him play sometimes in the wild.
This week, FJJ led us to the editor complaining about the guy that asked me. He said, how could you write about the Mets?
Yes,
he said, my Rebbe's always played handball with us. And,
yeah.
You know,
I answered that.
So with Imam, that's an interesting addition.
Nuts,
he gives the Malbim gives the regular interpretation that we learn, but he also says it also means as well if you did rishis in your young age, don't give up. In other words, it doesn't matter; you still have time to correct.
Do tshuva
as you're older, right? When you're older, don't
you can
say,
still do tshuva.
This is the way I am.
Okay, let's see. Nasa isha bas banim bialduscha. Another example: a person marries a woman when he's young bialduscha. Sa isha bas banim bzeknuscha. If a person loses his wife chas v'shalom, or he takes a second wife in ancient times, marry a woman of childbearing age when he gets older. When he gets old.
I got married this month. Both Alma and Almana. He came with 12 children, and she came with 13. And now they have where to go every Shabbos.
They'll go broke every Shabbos. Asisa tzedaka bialduscha, say tzedaka bezignuscha. Third example is reference to tzedaka. So he gives here three examples. So Sachakol we take from Rashi and from the Mitzudos, four interpretations. Planting, parnasa, plan your parnasa accordingly, learning Torah, teaching Torah, getting married, having children, and tzedakah. Okay, why? If they will succeed, maybe only the one that you'll have success nachas from are the ones that you have in your old age. He gives here the classic example of Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 talmidim and they all perished. And what did he do? He started all over again with five new talmidim. Matzilu Rabbi Akiva shayilu esrim yarboim elif talmidim migiv of migivas viad and tipras that spanned the entire Eretz Yisrael, and he lost them all. The kula meisub mi pesach viad atzeres ubo eitzel rabaseinu shebadaram v'shana lohem, and he started all over again with five talmidim. Uleinyan habanim matzilu be Itzbon is Boaz. Be'avtzon, Boaz. Boaz's name was Avtzon. So we find that he had Shloshim Bonos, Shalachutso, Shloshim Heviu Lebonos. He had 30 sons and 30 sons and 30 daughters. And he sent away his 30 sons to marry 30 women elsewhere, and he took the 30 son-in-laws, and they all died. The chula mesu bichayav uvizignuso, he married Rus. And who came from Rus? oved. And from that came the Melech HaMashiach. So you never know what's going to be. Just because a person is not successful in his youth does not mean that he should stop. He should proceed and try to accomplish later in life. Okay, there's another, before we see the Targum, there's a very beautiful idea here. This comes from the Ben Ishchai. Okay, it's not something you'd expect from the Ben Ishchai. Beautiful idea. And he says, Bokeh represents Befarhesia. In the morning, the sun is out. Everyone sees what you do. The Erev means darkness. It means it's night. No one sees what you're doing. And he picks up upon Rashi's last interpretation that we're referring to the giving of tzedakah. And it's telling you that a person should give tzedakah publicly and should give tzedakah privately. There are some people, all of their tzedakah is on record. That's the derech. And there are some people, matan b'seitse yich be'af, they only give tzedakah secretly. That's not a derech. A person has to diversify his method of giving tzedakah. The tzedakah you give it for hesia, and the tzedakah you give it sinna, and I guess you could take it and you could apply it to everything that you do.
Depends to whom.
Everything, you could take all of the ideas of Rashi, of teaching Torah, learning Torah. There are things in life you do publicly, but there are things you do privately. You have to have both elements in your life. There has to be some degree of hiddenness in your life where it's 100% lishma, you know where you're holding, but you also have to serve as a model for other people to follow. You have to do things publicly. No one should be chayshag you that you are not a good person. There has to be this proper balance. Let's see the Targum on Pasik Vav. Pasik Vav, the Targum says, Biyome ole musach, in your youth, tisav itisav, marry a woman, take a woman, and visoyled binin, and have children. Ulidon save soch, and when you get old, los sishbaik itech chulokach milimil. Now here he says something different. Do not hold back yourself from teaching. From giving birth to more children. Same thing. When you're in your old age, a person should not hold back from having more children. Why? It's not going to be known to you. Which children will succeed in being good? This or that? Both of them together will be good. He basically is repeating the same idea that we said in Rashi. The Targum focuses primarily on the inyan of having children. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Zayin. Or is sweet, and it is good for the eyes to see the sun. Rashi, Amam Mitzudus, Pasuk Zayin, Umasok, or Yafehu Ha'or, it is beautiful. Okay, so the word Masok, it translates not as sweet, but as Yoif, beauty. Yoimar b'loshon sheil, it's a borrowed term. The word masok is not to be taken literally, because masok is something which applies to the senses, to the tongue. And the or is not something which you taste. So it's a borrowed term. It is beautiful. Ki ha'or ein adavar hanechal sheyum tak, it's not something which you can sense, you can eat. V'retzolema yofechai ha'odam oid nene mi'orachayim. A person's life is beautiful as long as they can derive benefit from the or, as long as a person can see. When a person has a good eyesight, can see, can be nene from the or hayoim. Okay, it's very interesting, this week's parasha, mamash bo bayom, for vatechene ein av mi'oros. That means that blindness is a bitter time in life. If sweetness is described as toiv loinayim, if Yitzchak ahi ki techena ein of meraos, he was blind. Obviously, that means that he suffered very greatly. The toiv davar, the Metzudas goes further. The toiv davar tov hu leinayim oidam yecholim liros hashemesh. For kafal in b'milo yishonis, it's just a poetic repetition. Rashi pasuk zayin masoika ar masoku oirah shel Torah. So the ar he says is Torah. Homiletic interpretation, Yehudim Ma'isa Oira Simcha V'Sasin V'Yikar Oira Zu Toira.
And here he tried Masek literally.
Masek, well, doesn't say. The Rashi doesn't always go into detail, but here he says the R means the R of Toira. V'Tov Lo'inayim Liros HaShamesh V'Ashreyem Talmideyem She'eneyem Ro'im Halacha Miluvenes. Fortune of the students whose eyes see a clear teaching. Umichu veres, correct, something which is clear That's something which is correct. Al buria in its ultimate clarity. Kach nidrash be'agodas tilim. Tilim is short for tehillim. When we call tehillim, Rashi some drops the hay and he says tilim. Okay, so this is he's telling us liroi says Hashemish means to comprehend. This is a very powerful musar. Teichachas Musar, at least according to Rashi, is that learning should be clear. I once had a Rebbe, I didn't understand a word that he said. I could not comprehend it. And he knew that I didn't comprehend, and he was angry at me. Why don't I try to work on his shir, to work to understand. So he said to me, that's the derech of teaching, is that the Rebbe is supposed to speak in riddles, and the students are supposed to try to figure out the mysteries. So he says, that's what Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, I don't know, he quoted me some medrash, so I wanted to say to him, you know Ribbono Shel Olam. I don't know. So there is such a thing. You always hear this. The people they criticize. You shouldn't study art scroll because you have to horava on the Daf Gemara. There's no question. There are certain issues. They do not allow an art scroll Gemara in the building. They do not allow in a high school. They do not allow the children to have. They do not allow because they want you to struggle to work on the Gemara. There's definitely truth. I'm not chas v'shalom challenging what they're saying, but you do find other memory chazal that not everyone is cut out for this type of approach of where you have to struggle. Some people can become talmidei chachamim through learning, through clarity. If you have an art school gemara, if you have a masifta, you have an opportunity to learn something with clarity, and it's sweet. It's not so bad. There's also something to be said. I mean, obviously, each one has malus, but this Rashi over here seems to be giving you the approach is that when it comes to students, the malus, if you have a Rebbe and you can understand what the Rebbe says, you could actually understand what the Rebbe says. With those words, v'ashrayim talmidim, fortunate, praiseworthy are students. Sheinehem royim halacha, they see a halacha that's miluvenes umichuveres. Alboria. That's a very powerful expression. They have clarity. Something is presented to them with ultimate clarity. That's a student from the Rebbe. That's what the Rebbe is supposed to do. Kach nidrash b'igeris, and that's how you learn from the pasuk. V'tov le'nam liros hashamesh. Targum. Pasuk zayin. Pasuk says with the simno hayro deraisa. Targum follows in the approach of Rashi that it is sweet. It is sweet. The light of Torah. V'tov le'anhora. Einin, and it is good to enlighten the einin chashichin, to enlighten the eyes, the dark eyes, to see limichze, to see yokor ape shechinta. He's embellishing this pasuk quite a bit. To see the presence of the honor, to see the honor of the shechina, the asid. Le'anhora apet sadikai, that will ultimately enlighten the face of the righteous. Miziv shechinta ulemehave shufreihon noher kishimsha, and to see their faces, their biyofi. Shufrei means their beauty shine like the sun. So here the pasuk again, the soka are the shechina, the Torah is sweet, and the toiv le'inaim, it's good for the talmidim to see this beautiful thing. Liros es hashamash, to see the Shechina, to see the Shechina that radiates from the beauty of Torah, that will enlighten and beautify those people that embrace the study of Torah. Now there is just one very beautiful word here from the Sha'arei Chaim. I do not know who this is. It's quoted in the Sefer Oitzim Mefarshei Koheles, and he says that we know there are different types of Talmidei Chacham. For example, Rabbi Meir. The Gemara says, Rabbi Meir, there was no one that can come to the greatness of Rabbi Meir. And therefore, many times we do not in the Gemara follow the opinion of Rabbi Meir, even though it is accepted, it is well known, that he was head and shoulders above everyone else in his league. The problem is, Ein Odom Yoreid Al Soif Daitai. He was too great. Sometimes there is a chesaron in being too great. They say, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai was sharper. The reason why we don't follow Beis Shammai is because, same idea, Ein Adam Yorei L'Sof Da'ita, the average person cannot relate to his brilliance. So that's what it says over here in the pasuk. The pasuk, we read in the pasuk, like, Mosai Ka'ar. Or Torah, the aura of Torah is beautiful. It's beautiful, it's sweet. But if something is too sweet, you can't eat it. If you have a pastry, some pastries, it's too sweet. And it's just you don't enjoy it because it's delicious, but it's too potent. You have to be able to dilute wine. Wine is delicious, but if the wine is too strong, no one's coming to question the value and the chashivas of this bottle of wine. It's worth $500, but I can't drink it because it's just too potent. It's I'm not accustomed to drinking such wine. It's the same thing when it comes to Talmidei Chachamim. No one is coming to deny there are Talmidei Chachamim that are extremely great, but we are fortunate when we're in a situation when we have elevated ourselves to a degree where we are able to derive benefit from their Torah. If you can't look at the sun, the R, there are different madrigals of R. There is going out in daylight, but you can't look at the sun. The sun is sweet. The sun is the sherish of all R. Almost psycho R. But it's even better when the eyes can derive benefit. The toiv lo inayim, liroi ses hashemesh. But it's only good for the eyes when the eyes are able to see the sun. If the Talmud Chacham is on a madrega where he cannot relate to the tzibur, even though the Talmud Chacham is extremely great, but that's not going to be a benefit for Klal Yisrael. Okay, we'll stop.